Indeed. Mr. Sartinet, I heard your voicemail when I got in. I left my cell phone home all day.
The problem, I wanted to make sure that, first of all, you can't call me on my cell phone, because my cell phone dropped dead, too. I mean, but this is unbelievable, so I'm going to use it.
Okay, we got a couple of doubles going on in there. So let's see, we have Jason 208, Jason 2 LMH, yes, I guess it's the first time, Jim. And there was somebody that doubled with you, so let's stand by for that person. Okay, next we heard from Jason 2 JRH, WB2SGT, and 2OVQ. Anybody else?
This is November 2, November Hotel Mike, Joe and Glassell, no traffic, good evening.
Back to N2NLV and the group.
Very good, Jim. Are there any particular focus numbers that look interesting that we don't have a list here?
Well, Charlie, the some that are in groups that you already have listed, in the 9,000s and the 8,000s, I haven't had the time, honestly, to listen to the recordings, the actual recordings, and so I can't really say so far what seems to be what. But I think there's activity in the areas that may be related to stuff that you've already listed, because the talk groups are so close to what you have listed. Thank you.
Okay. Is there an ability to do an analysis of how many hits are on one talk group versus another in the course of the day? Is there to see which one is your one?
Oh, absolutely. That's the hits and the latest time in the 24-hour format that the last hit came on. For instance, talk group 8224, which you have identified as special narcotics prosecutor, I have 174 hits. Keep in mind that I've had this on now for, the better part of a week, almost 2 weeks, just letting it run.
Wow, okay. 174 hits in a week. That's not what, 25 a day? Okay. I'll be interested to see what comes out of all your recordings. Who knows, you may find some of those elusive ones that you're trying to get hits about. And
What I'd like to do is to, at some point, I got to figure out how to email maybe this whole list to you if you want to punch some of these in and listen to them as well. I'm not sure how to do that just yet.
Does the program allow saving of a particular file? Now, I could always take the file and extract the data from it.
Yeah, it does. I'm not sure what format yet. When I have some time to really sit down with this thing, I'll play with it. But again, it's called ID Tracker, and it's freeware.
Okay, well, chances are that the file format is probably going to be plain text, maybe delimited by columns or commas or whatever. Don't worry about that. The format of data, I play with so many strange formats you've never even heard of. And got from one form into another. It comes from dealing with mainframe systems among the company.
Yeah, well, that ought to learn you. I guess if you can decipher that labyrinth and system, you can pretty much figure out anything.
Yeah, well, I built databases for Nynix in the 90s. And did everything on a Windows platform. First in eBay, and then in Access. So I've had exposure to a lot of their funky systems.
Okay, well, I'll like I said, at some point I'll have a little more time, and I'll mail that to you. And if I can, and I believe it's recording in the WAV format, so maybe some of the more interesting ones, I'll send that to you as well. So let me turn it back to you and let some other people chime in here if they like. So N2NOV, this is KC2LMH, back to you in the group.
Okay, very good, Jim, and I hope you're recording the WAV format in the lowest resolution possible. Otherwise, you're going to be eating up your hard drive like free.
You know what? I hadn't thought about that. So I'll be looking into that too. Okay, thank you.
Okay, clear with KC2LMH. Next up on the list is Ebony, KC2JRH, and 20B.
JRH.
Last week I mentioned on 8,425 megahertz, there was two stations, WLO and SVO. There's also another station that uses the same frequency. That station is NMC, Nancy Mike Charlie. It's a Coast Guard station. It's kind of interesting. All three of them are using the same exact frequency.
Well, you're going to find a lot of that on the marine band because Simplex only goes so far and they're able to reuse frequencies just across the world. So you'll have various coast stations, and sometimes they can hear each other, sometimes they can't. And they'll cover their little reach of the world based upon whatever the propagated is at the time.
The SBO station, supposedly in Greece, but it's interesting because both these stations are using the same frequency, like we do on the scanners, except they don't have PLs. So you're just getting all three at the same time, depending on how you tune it in. But usually when I tune it in with my single sideband, I get a different station.
Well, they're all using upper sideband. For the most part, unless it's a broadcast station or an active radio station, most transmissions that you're going to hear below 30 megahertz those to be in upper sideband. So channeling 8425 kilohertz, which is part of the marine band, you're going to hear everything in upper sideband. It's very rare that you'll find something in lower sideband. Every so often something will pop, but most of it's in upper sideband.
One other question. There used to be a station called WOM, and it used to be like a radio telephone station. I don't think they're on the air anymore. It was more from ship to shore, but it was international. Do you remember the station?
Oh yeah, WOM, I believe, was the Miami station. WOO was Ocean Gate, New Jersey. Was that Ocean County? Probably was. That's far from Hudson River. I took a trip there once and got a tour.
WB2SGT. WLO and WOM were coastal stations operated by AT&T Maritime Services. And yes, they were down there near the Toms River.
Well, there you go, Anthony.
Okay, KC2JRH. Yeah, that's interesting, because WOM, one time I picked up a one that was still on the air. There was a radio telephone call between a ship and that was docked in Jamaica in the West Indies. And the call was, apparently was, I would guess, would be from Miami, Florida. So, I don't know, would that be, the call would have to be in Miami or could be anywhere else?
I don't know, the call could go to anybody else. It was just a matter of what station was able to pick up the signal. As was explained to me when I took the tour, when was that? 1983, 85? A couple of us got together and jumped in the car one day in the summer and took a tour of WOO station. And they showed us, behind this glass panel, a whole array of radios that were controlled by a console. And each one was on a different frequency. And they had a whole farm of rhombic antennas pointing in different directions. And they showed us on a map where the signals would go based upon which antenna. And each one would light up as they switched to that antenna. So if they were picking up a signal in a particular part of the ocean, they would flip the correct rhombic antenna that was pointing in that direction and pick them up. Now sometimes they were able to get a station. Sometimes Miami was able to get the station. Sometimes San Francisco was able to get the station, but whichever one was able to pick up the call then was the processor.
interesting. All right, I just want to make a comment on that, because I thought it was kind of interesting that there were two different stations on there. And I just listen to a whole bunch of stuff, either high frequency and a lot of scanner stuff. But I switch back and forth. Anyways, KC2JRH, back to that. Thank you very much, Sean.
WB2SGT. Okay, Anthony. And these days, all those phone calls are going across on some satellite now. They don't even use radio operators in the ships anymore. It's all computerized. Okay, Pete, go ahead. WB2SGT, S1OP. You're up next anyway.
Yeah, working for AT&T Maritime was a dream I had many years ago. Like you said, those calls are all handled by satellite. That limited my work with the Techno Materiel Corporation, the transmitter engineer. I got your post about the FDNY, NYPD on the subway system, and maybe we can discuss it.
Sure. Have you got some inside information? Go right ahead.
Oh, I don't have it. Inside information. I have experience. The fact of the matter is, the entire subway system computer is set up with co-antennas. And it's designed to pick up signals from trains. Did you read my email?
Yep, and what you're describing is commonly known as radiacs. That's what they use inside the Twin Towers for the Port Authority to stop them, as they were before.
Well, bottom line is, they're dreaming. It's not going to work the way they want it to work. You know, one of the amazing things that I discovered working on R-142 subway cars is the radio system. The transceiver is a program for railroad frequencies, for NYCTA. It's mounted on a metal panel in the wall directly behind the train operator. There's no external antenna. The coax runs from that position, the back of the car, to a metal box, which is used to gain antenna. It works. It only works because radiac picks the signal up. It's not going to work. The radiac is not going to work with handheld VHF HDs. Better than health close proximity. I don't know who they have working for them, but they can spend another $20 million. It's still not going to work.
Well, the Transit Police Division, when they merged with the NYPD, they were quite easily using the same radio for their operations, because their frequencies were on those railroad channels. Now, what they're trying to do is interface VHF and UHF from above ground to below ground. And, like you indicated, they need the proper equipment to do that if it's going to work properly. So, the system that's designed for VHF, they have VHF amplifiers, couplers, and everything else in there. Then you've got to
I'm going strong. about emergency communication for the fire department, police department, and the subway system. The subway system runs on the railroad frequency, VHF. The fire department runs on VHF. The police department runs on UHF. And the system in the subway is designed for close proximity radio communication to the RADIAC call center. If you're going to have a handheld, it's not going to work properly. And that's the discussion of the subject. Okay, who was that?
WATCDL,
stop. CDL, 10.
The subway project is the system I just built. That's the system I designed.
Ah, so let's get it from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
What do you want to know about it?
Well, the item that sparked the conversation was the report of the problem in interface above ground antennas that are being set up on street level, and the relay going down the tunnel that in some areas is not working properly.
What department do you work for?
I don't work for a department. I'm the contractor that did the design work.
See, I'm a railroad car inspector. I have first-hand experience with how this stuff works.
Cut. Yeah, I get to face the transit all the time.
Okay, so how is the system supposed to work, Andrew?
By the way, just for the record, don't believe everything you hear regarding the system not working, because the system works very well. And I know because I built it and I tested it. It demonstrated it works extremely well.
Okay, we're just relaying news articles that we saw, and became a topic of discussion. So, you know, whatever you can do to help us understand it, we appreciate it.
Yeah, the, all you need is one person to say something to the news, and then it gets blown out of proportion. You know that. People will always try to, in my opinion, because they don't understand the complexity of the system. They'll try to shoot it down, say it's no good, and, you know, what have you. It's a complex system only because we're piggybacking a UHF radio system onto an existing old VHF system, which we're slowly improving, meaning that we are improving their VHF system that they've been using all these years by replacing RADIAC cables that have been so badly worn out and damaged over the years, corroded, that the losses are tremendous. So it's been a twofold thing. not only are we putting a new system in, we are replacing what exists with new equipment, new hardware, to make their system work even better. And technically speaking, I'm not going to go into all the details, but again, you get a news reporter or someone, you know, that makes a statement, and then it gets spread like wildfire. And you know, when a story reaches, when a story originates at point A, by the time it winds up at point B, C, D, E, or what have you, it's completely different from the story that started. So the bottom line is, I can tell you firsthand, don't believe everything you hear, because the system works really well. I'm really proud of it. It's a very ingenious system. So you can see
Well, that's why we try to get the information from the sources as frequently as we can. Unfortunately, sometimes the source is not available or not known, so we wind up relying on whatever we can find. So I'm glad you came forward, Andrew. It helps us know that, that you're out there.
WB2SGT.
Now, let me just give you a little background about me.
Hello, Ed.
Another station out there. I'm retired from the New York City Police Department's radio shop after working there 15 years and built firsthand the radio system that's now being used, including the dispatch center. I'm also ex-Motorola employee going back to 1975, working on the Motorola two-way radio equipment. Have a lot of experience with communications equipment. And given that I came from the above-ground radio system and know it like the back of my hand, been to every site, including phone line setups, anything pertinent to it, T1 lines and, you know, so on. It was easier for me to interface the above ground to the below ground, given the equipment that we're using. And I'm not going to go into all the details of the equipment, but if you saw it, you'd be amazed. It is very, very expensive, and it works very well, and most people probably never even heard of the companies that we have integrated into our system to make it work the way we want it to work. It's a complete digital system, microprocessor-based, computer control, and does a lot of things. Back to you, WHCDL.
WB2SGT.
Okay, hang on a second. Hi, Andrew. Yeah, definitely have the experience there, no doubt about that. And you probably work with my database for the NYPD rollout back in the 90s. Yeah, you talked about T1 search, because I was at the phone company and put together that database. That way you go either your both sites together back to headquarters.
I don't want to leave the station now. I don't mean to be harsh, I just don't like when people, you know, start pointing things, and I know you guys are not, you just want to find out what's going on. We probably know each other. I've been here many years, and I'm very active on the amateur bands as well. Get a station band.
WB2S, his name is Peter. Yeah. I was accepted as a radio mechanic for the NYPD, and just before I was to take the job, Mayor Koch announced a hiring freeze. A year and a half later, I got a call. I wish I could, that job was provisional. I'd be retired. I was the New York City Transit car inspector that initiated radio check during inspection of car body. So, have no problems with me. I do heavy passenger rail now.
Just clarify, did you say you were looking to get into the radio shop for the police department, but because of the Mayor Koch closed residential law, you couldn't be hired?
No, the city went broke, and Mayor Koch had a hiring freeze. And that was the end of that shop. They tried to get me in. The police officer that interviewed me made a mistake on my fingerprints. And that tied things up. And there were two positions open, and a guy got a job as a computer terminal mechanic. And he dropped it. He took it only to get a raise from his boss. They couldn't put me in that job. That was 74, 75, something like that. So, that's like 21 years as an electromechanical technician. Now I fix big trains.
That was before I ever worked in the city. I only started working in a radio shop in 1987. And I was hired. Back in the 70s, I worked for Motorola in College Point, and then I was transferred to Plainview. I did all the stuff, the repeater work and everything that I did. All right, I'll just mention it. But, I probably know quite a few guys that are hams that I don't know that they're hams that work down in the transit radio shop, because I know everybody that works in the radio shop is transit, because I work with them. And I was with one of the guys today, in fact, because we have our communication room at every station, and I needed to go into some of the rooms. I also know quite a few people from the telephone section, working on the station, TTBs, and everything else. So anyway, we work with the guys out of 2 Broadway, Transit 2 Broadway, engineering guys from there. But I work actually for the company that's got the contract to design and have the equipment installed, which we did. And that's it. So I can tell you what. I can just tell you that right now. Get a station to head, you know, back to whoever started it. I started it.
Well, actually, it's a mess. The short way of scattering was a mess. That's going on for a little bit now. So we'll see tonight at 9 o'clock. So tell me what I'm jumping in. What you did tonight has helped clear up a couple of things. And I hope we continue the sharing of the information and really help us understand what we're doing.
What's your name and call, just so I get it?
Sure. My name is Charles. I'm from Staten Island. And the call is November 2, November Oscar Victor.
By the way, I'm Peter WB2SGT. I work for General Electric Mobile Radio Service, 58th Street, down the block from the radio shop and police.
Oh, over by Laurel Hill Boulevard? You okay, first of all, I'm jumping around a bit here. You worked for the radio for GE because they're no longer there. This is what you're saying in the past, right?
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Do you know a guy named Donald Haggerty?
No, the name doesn't ring a bell. I worked there for about 2 years.
Are you familiar with Eastern Communications, Long Island City?
Yeah, that name rings a bell, but that's a long time ago. I know the people who made it, they went out of business. Did it say a long time ago?
It is still around. Mike DePalma is one of the guys who owns the company. All right, anyway. N2NOV, your call sounds familiar. Again, this is WA2 Charlie David Lima, CDL. Name is Andy. Have you got? I think we spoke before. We probably know each other. I'm also the technical chairperson for LIMARC. I'm a LIMARC member. I've been a LIMARC member since 1973. And I took over the technical position last June. And I'm presently rebuilding their repeater system.
Okay. Sounds good, Andy. I don't know what you've heard, but depending upon who you talk to, I'm either somebody they like or somebody they vilify. Doesn't bother me. Do a Google search on me if you'll stuff I get involved in. All stuff we did in the past, like the 9/11 activation, Y2K and stuff. But this then, this New York Theatre Association, we started the NET in 1992. The night that the U.S. Airplane 550 fell off the runway during that ice storm. And it's an event that people come to, and each week is different because it depends on what people bring to the event. So we've got newsletters that we send out by email. It'll still be Acrobat format and websites, and now discussions go from everything from long wave all the way up to satellite.
Good, sounds good. What's the name there? I know you, I think you mentioned it, but I didn't write it down.
Charles, or Charlie.
That's right, you mentioned Charles, okay. And 2NOV. Okay, very good. You said you were in Staten Island. Now, I'm familiar with Staten Island because when I worked for the PD, I was on the, what they called the base crew. Base station crew, you know, given Motorola experience that I had, I went right into the field, you know, and serviced all the base stations, wireline bases, you know, all 600 of them, and then some. And, like, this system here is using a SpectraTAC, Motorola SpectraTAC. I went to, back in the 70s when I worked for Motorola, I went to SpectraTAC school. With a guy named Don Turney, I remember the name, and we installed a few SpectraTAC systems when I worked for Motorola, and of course, the PD uses the same thing. They use Digitac as well for their digital encrypted system. So I went to both schools, so I'm pretty familiar with the voting systems they use along those lines. But the subway project is a whole different ballgame. It's completely different system. It's not made by Motorola at all. And channelized system. And as I said, it's quite impressive and quite extensive. It is quite complicated. If you saw the system drawings of each system. We have 49 systems incorporated into the subways. Each system is a small piece of a radio system, and then they're all integrated together. So it's complex, and that's why you know, a lot of the non-technical people that report don't understand all the logistics and all the technicalities that we have to go through to get the thing to work right. It's a big, big job. That's all I can say about it. Back to you.
It's building. We understand that, Andy. And complex systems, yeah. Yeah. Like I said, the database that was put together for running all the T1 lines, the NYPD rollout in the mid-90s. If anybody was to look at the grid between the sites and the channels that were at each site, it's quite complex. So, yeah, I totally understand. If you want, Andy, if you can check out the listings that I have on my website, n2nob.net, you'll find links for, you know, different agencies, you know, fire, EMS, whatever. And there's stuff on there for the subway system. If there's anything that I may have put down that's wrong, if you drop me an email and let me know, then I'd appreciate it. And that would be reported to the rest of the group here off at that door by email or of this update to the page.
Query.
Okay, query, go ahead.
Okay, first I wanted to say hello to Andy. I met Andy one time there. I think he was still working for PD. Called K2CSX, Mark, up here in the Bronx. Question, Charlie. New York City buses, their radios, are they working like on a cell phone type of situation?
The 20-channel Motorola Trust Type 2 system. And each bus goes to a console that can't pull each other. And the radios need to scan a set of talk groups that have various announcements on it, depending upon what system they're part of, what line, what depot.
Okay, very good, very good. Because, you know, I hear, you know, when I'm on the bus and sometimes I hear these announcements come over. And, you know, I when you get on the buses, you see on their console, you know, where the bus is from, which depot it's from. It's in, you know, lit at the display. It would say Kingsbridge or, say, West Farms, or it would say maybe 101st Street or Jackie Gleason Depot. You know, I said, oh, so, okay. It's kind of interesting.
Well, go to my website, Mark, and under MTA, you'll see New City Transit Bus Trunk System, and you'll see how everything is grouped together, especially by depots. First by boroughs, then depots within it.
Okay, okay. I'll do that, because I did put a binder together with some of the stuff, some of the information that you have over there. Very helpful. What I'll do, I'll probably do that in a little while. Make some copies and make a site up in my book for that there. All right. Listening back here, listening, and very interesting. And I always joke about to Andy about the mysterious suitcase that was over there in Woodside. You know, the gun, the mysterious gun that's in the suitcase that they use to track the, you know, jamming and stuff like that for the police department.
Who is this that knows me?
Andy, it's Mark, K2CSX. Before I was KB2UPP, you did some work on a Kenwood TS-440 for me several years ago, back in the mid-90s. And I went out there to, matter of fact, I was out at the shop there. I'm part-time on the job. I'm, you know, the auxiliary in the Bronx, the 44 precinct.
Okay, I remember that. That was 1987. That was around this time, I think around June or July of 1987, I think. Yeah, I think that was around that time, about 10 years ago. I remember now. I remember the old call. Yeah, well, I retired from the police department right after 9/11. I was actually going to retire the year before 9/11,
in 2000. I forgot
what 9/11 occurred to it. Would you believe it? I know the date. I forget the year. Was it 2001? 2002. 2001, right? I was going to come over to the company that's doing the work with the police radio system back then, but after 9/11, I stayed with the PD for just about a year to reconfiguring, you know, the radio system that was damaged due to the collapse of building number 7, where, as you know, that was the our telephone company building, the CO, one of the COs that we had our trunk lines going through. And of course we lost communications, so we had to reroute everything. You know the whole story with that. So the bottom line is I stayed on board working in headquarters. In fact, I was up in headquarters the day of the attack, the day of 9/11. I was on the 8th floor in the radio room up there. And of course I stayed there. In fact, I didn't even leave. My car was parked downstairs. It was covered with 2 inches of white dust. I didn't even leave until a few days later. I actually slept right on in the 8th floor because we were so busy with getting the radio system back together again. So it was a big mess, of course. But then about a year later, I left the city, and I'm presently working for the company now that's got the contract for the radio system, which we just put in. Just to let you know. I think it's Mark, right? Back to you.
That's affirmative. Okay, very good, dear. Well, I was at work that day, and, you know, of course, while I was at work, I witnessed the second strike from the Bronx, so through a pair of binoculars, and thought that I was seeing things, but of course I wasn't. Yeah, I know that it took out a lot of the coaxial lines, it took out a lot of the phone circuits, it was one big mess. It was one big mess, man. I said to myself, I pity the guys, they gotta put this stuff all back together. And, however, I think a couple months before that, me and my daughter's mom, I took her for a visit, 1PP, up on the 8th floor, ninth floor of the radio where the dispatch center was. And there were some people sitting in there, I think they were from traffic or school safety. They were sitting up there at one of the desks. And they were taking sledgehammers and applying it to the console, because everything had already left and went out to Brooklyn, to Metrotech. I haven't yet been to Metrotech. I got to go and visit that place, you know, get a look and see at it. K2CSX.
I don't mean to hog the net, by the way, if there is a net. That's what this is. But, okay, on Metrotech, by the way. Yeah, we built some of the equipment that's being used at Metrotech, of course, before the dispatchers moved over there. When I was, you know, with the PD, this was back in the 90s, of course, as I mentioned. Okay, I guess I'll just stand by. Guys, continue. And, I can't give every bit of information out regarding our system, but you guys know what the story is, basically what's going on. So that's about it. Charlie, back to you, Charles, WHCDO.
Okay, Andy, and yeah, you welcome to join us at any time. This heavy Wednesday night, 9 o'clock. Okay, time is 9:54. Let's see if there's anybody else who wants to check in late before we wrap things up while I check the email. You can keep it there. And it's going to be. Okay, guess not. And it's up to your email. So, stay 7-3 to everybody, and we'll catch you next week. Again, if there's anything that's hot breaking news you want to share with everyone else, send it to the email down to nydxa@yahoo.com, and we'll forward it out for you. And every so often, Bob and I run across some things, and that's what winds up in your mailbox. Makes for some interesting discussion. So, catch you all later, and to want to be clear.